And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. It would help if I pushed the button, wouldn't it? I've got it all together today. Completely in control of everything. All righty. All right. Thanks for tuning into this program today. It's called Health Essentials. Let me just share with you a thought that I had yesterday. Okay. So, a person comes into my office and they say, I've got a cough that will not go away for any reason. And so they describe that there's continual coughing all night long. They say it's so bad it's like they're barking at geese flying over at 20,000 feet and the geese can hear the cough and they sound off and cough back at them. I'm just joking about that. And so when you start to take a look at this, here's what I want you to consider. And you know what? We've got to come to terms with this. When you were 6 years old, you could kind of flip off the back of the couch, fall on the hard concrete, and bounce right back up, and you're okay. But when you're 65 years old, and you fall off the back of the couch, and you land on the hard floor, you don't exactly quite have that springy, bouncy, limber joints and muscles that you had when you were 6 years old. And so as human beings age, they really do lose their ability to heal wounds of any kind. So I don't know that it really matters what part of the body's damaged. I know this may be a different concept, but if you get punched in the head or you have a car wreck and your head hits the windshield or the steering wheel and you kind of go out for a little bit, that's called a concussion. And so there's literal damage that takes place to your brain cells. So if you drink a lot of alcohol and you totally black out, well, I don't have any problem saying that probably does damage to your brain cells. If you have an infection in your lungs and a doctor says, oh my word, you have double pneumonia, we better give you an antibiotic. Well, I'd recommend that. But there's still damage to the tissue. And so no matter how you're wounded or how you're damaged or injured, your body still has to rise to the occasion and go to that area and heal the area that's been wounded. Is that right? So if you have damaged kidney tissue, what you want is you want your body to go to the kidneys and fix them and heal them. But you know as well as I do, I mean, your eyes are wide open. As we age, all this changes radically. Okay? Are you with me on that? And so we don't heal as well as we used to. So there's always this concept of a trade-off. And yeah, it's real. And so if you said, Dr. Morgan, what do you mean a trade-off? I would say this. You have higher blood pressure. The doctor doesn't even attempt to find out why your blood pressure is high. He just says, hey, it's genetic. You know, can I just stop right there for a second? Is that really a great explanation? Is that what you want to hear? Do you want to hear every time you go to a doctor that you have a virus and that's the cause of your problem? Nothing was done to examine that you had a virus, but it was just an arbitrary opinion that your problems are because of a virus or because of aging or because of your genetics or your DNA or it's in your genes. You know, you can say it however you want. Well, is that really true? There was a study done recently where they asked people on the street. They asked a question. They said, do you know what a refrigerator is? Well, with 100% confidence, people said, yes, we know what a refrigerator is. Then they asked a second question. Do you know how a refrigerator works? And I would say nearly 100%, maybe not quite 100%, but let's just say 90%, they said with the greatest assurance and confidence that they knew how a refrigerator works. And so the third question was, what is your level of confidence for understanding how a refrigerator works? And yeah, it was just way up there. It was like 90 percentile. Then they asked them the next question. We're going to give you a sheet of paper, and we want you to explain step by step the process by which or through which a refrigerator works. Well, you know what happened. All of a sudden, these very confident individuals, they could no longer move forward because their confidence was zero at that point, because they said, we don't know. And so you see where I'm going with this. If you go to a doctor and you have a blood pressure problem, if the doctor, without even investigating, determines it's because of your family genetics, well, is that really true? Well, what I want you to do is I want you to take a sheet of paper out and write down the process by which and through which your body maintains optimal blood pressure. What is the mechanism by which and through which you develop high blood pressure? Or is it just all genetics or a virus? Well, you know it's more complicated than that. And so you go to the doctor, and the doctor puts you on blood pressure medication. Well, what if there's a trade-off for taking that? What if the trade-off is you take a blood pressure medication that causes loss of just basic mineral electrolytes? Electrolytes are minerals that hold this electrical activity or electrical charge. It's actually a very cool topic. If you told me, Dr. Morgan, take a sheet of paper yourself and write down everything you know about electrolytes and explain how they work, I would be going, I'm not sure. Hey, I would be trapped in my own devices, wouldn't I? No, this is very, very deep and complex. You know, sometimes every time I don't know the answer to something, I go back to Psalms. Is it 139 that says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made? And so if you go to a doctor for blood pressure and they prescribe a medication, well, what are you going to do if you develop a bad, bad cough as a consequence of taking that medication? You know what? That's real. Well, did the doctor intend for you to develop the bad cough? No. Did they want your blood pressure to come down to like a reasonable normal level? Absolutely. Well, what if you go to a doctor and the doctor says, oh my goodness, your cholesterol is 201. We have to put you on a medication to lower your cholesterol. And you say, well, why would I want to do that? And they would say, well, to prevent heart disease. Well, how's that going to prevent heart disease? And the doctor says, well, it keeps plaque from building up in your arteries. Well, if you've heard me talk on the radio before, you know that's not true. I mean, the landmark study that was done in 1995 demonstrated, they asked the question, does taking cholesterol-lowering drugs and medications, does that prevent plaque from the arteries? Well, the answer is no. It doesn't do anything of the sort. But you know what? People believe that. Have you ever thought for a second that just because you believe something, it ain't so? So here we have a trade-off here. We'll give you a drug to lower your cholesterol, and does it do that? Yeah. I'm not going to go into it, but if you said, let's write down step by step exactly the mode of action that drug has upon the cells of your body or on your liver, I think we could start to write it down. Well, is there a trade-off for taking that drug? Well, let's put it to you this way. What if you said, you know what, my mind and my memory is not as sharp as what it used to be. I have a hard time remembering details and names and faces and dates, and I lose my words, and I can't really focus and concentrate. Well, heck yeah. Half of your brain is made of cholesterol, and if you take a drug that limits your body's production of cholesterol, what are you going to do? One of the components for the brain in order to have memory is to have cholesterol. And I'm going to tell you right now, your body is incapable of making all the cholesterol that you need. You're going to have to get some from the food that you're eating. I realize I'm just saying that, and you can say, prove it to me. Well, I think there's a lot of room to talk about this topic. So, if you take a cholesterol-lowering medication to lower your cholesterol, it can do that. But what if, and again, this is coming from the research, if you take a cholesterol-lowering drug for an average of 7 years duration, what is the net result? Well, the net result is you develop type 2 adult-onset diabetes. Is that what you want? Did your doctor tell you that? The other thing is, what if you said, well, I don't have memory loss, I don't have diabetes. Well, what if you have fatigue? You've got to have, that's one of the most common side effects besides memory loss. Actually, I shouldn't make a joke about this, because I think in the year 2008, because that's one of the articles that I read from the Townsend letters, they demonstrated that for somebody who takes a cholesterol-lowering drug, they could have global amnesia. That means they're driving down the road, they don't know who they are, where they're going, what they're doing, or where they live. That's just to name a few. That's called global amnesia. I had a neighbor one time that took, what was it, Lipitor? She completely forgot who she was. Have you ever heard that before? So anyway, you take a cholesterol-lowering drug, the unintended side effect or the trade-off is, yeah, you can lower your cholesterol, but at a price. It may be that you're exhausted, your legs hurt all the time, your legs feel heavy, you no longer have a spring in your step, you don't remember details the way that you used to, you have short-term memory loss. I guess in severe circumstances, you have global amnesia, and then you get diabetes. Somebody's trying to call, so we'll go to the phone lines here. All right, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing great. How can I help you?
Well, I was interesting information you're putting out this morning, and you talked about forgetfulness and stuff. I've noticed a little bit of that since COVID, but most of it's been coming back in very minor forgetfulness, so I just call that COVID brain. Most of that's been coming back, but what I really called about is at the bend of the elbow on my right arm, there looks like there's something like a little psoriasis, like a little raise in the skin and a little redness. What can I do for that?
I saw two people yesterday that had this horrific rash, dry, eczema-like psoriasis in the fold of their elbow.
Mm-hmm. And I've noticed that after donating plasma or selling plasma.
Well, and see, plasma is one of the most interesting fluids in the human body, and one of the main proteins is found in plasma. It's called albumin.
Mm-hmm.
And so albumin is the main transportation protein. It's amazing what albumin does. And so albumin, it keeps your blood clean and strong. And so when you donate plasma, sometimes you start losing some of your antibodies and some of your blood components that you need to maintain health of the skin. And so let me just kind of say it this way. I'm going backwards to what I started off with. In every situation when you have this rash or this dryness building up in the fold or the crease of your elbow, it's really your body's trying to communicate to you that something's wrong internally. And so I'm going to go with most likely you have developed some type of either toxicity or allergy to a substance. Now, let me give you a couple of three ideas.
Okay.
If a person is under just a horrific amount of stress for an extended period of time, well, you know it takes its toll on the body. Nobody's
yes.
going to deny that. I mean, everybody gets worn down and exhausted, and I'm sure you've been in a situation like that, like the rest of us have.
Yeah, we just lost my dad, so yeah, that's been
well,
a real
and I'm
duty.
So sorry. What a great man he was.
Yes, he was.
Would I be rude if I asked how old he was when he passed away?
He would have been 97 this August.
Oh my! Well, we're going to say he was 97. We're just going to round it up. Isn't that amazing? He lived exactly 20 years longer than the average man lives. 20 years.
Wow.
Two decades. That's incredible. And so when your body gets exhausted and depleted, your body starts scrambling for resources. And this is just one way I think about it. But if a person is a little bit low in zinc,
okay.
Then if you have severe stress and you get the COVID, you're going to deplete your resources at a faster rate than what you'd like to. And so you start running low. And so when you're low in zinc, all these other things that didn't intend to happen, they start happening. And you're going, is that because I'm run down, exhausted? Well, over time, you can start showing reactions to food when you become depleted and exhausted. And so Have you ever heard of a substance called MSG or monosodium glutamate?
Yes.
Okay, so if somebody is running behind and they're short of time and they don't have time to make real food for themselves, there's a temptation to eat either processed food, packaged food, fast food, restaurant food. And so all that food contains is a chemical called MSG. And so to me, it's very, very common when somebody has a reaction to MSG, they start getting a rash in the fold of their elbow.
Okay.
So is there any possibility that maybe you've kind of relied a little bit more than what you'd like to on fast food?
Probably some, yeah.
But from your voice, not a lot, right?
I try to cook as much as I can.
Oh, that's such a good call. So we're going to find there's two or three organ systems in your body. The number one organ system I'm going to go with is going to be the kidneys. So when the kidneys become a little bit weak or a little bit stressed or overworked, that's when you're going to start seeing rashes in the fold of your elbow.
Okay.
And so some of the things you can do to help your kidneys come back online again is, number one, you can start juicing. I know this sounds weird the way I'm going to say it, but when you run celery or an apple with a lemon that's been peeled, maybe a little bit of cilantro and a little bit of chunk of fresh ginger root through a juicer, you are getting the vital life force and energy that comes from plants. If you asked me if that's the blood of plants, I would say, yeah, it is the blood of plants. It's just not like red like ours is. It's not
right.
Full of hemoglobin. So if you did a juice once a day, what you're doing is you're helping to gently scrub toxic debris that may have accumulated in your kidneys during a time of great stress. And so that actually helps repair the body. The other thing, the hardest thing in the kidneys of all time, in my opinion, is going to be refined sugar. Now, I know that refined sugar is very rare and hard to come by. I'm being sarcastic. I shouldn't do that. I'm sorry. I repent. Let me stop.
And I was going to believe you.
I know. I tried to sell it like it was actually a fact, but I'm just being sarcastic. No, but refined sugar. I know, isn't that horrible? But refined sugar, there's nothing that's harder on the performance or the function of the kidneys. Now, I'm not trying to be negative by saying this, but there's nobody that walks this earth that outlives their kidneys. The kidneys usually get worn down a lot earlier than what we'd like them to. But, I mean, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we need those very sophisticated, elegant filters to do their job to keep us in good working order. And so what we want to do in your situation is make it easy on your kidneys to kind of, survive. So if you went to the lab and said, could you just do like a simple blood test to check my blood? Well, if they do a test called HCT, that's just short for hematocrit, for a man, if that number is around 42, that means his blood is not too thin and not too thick. So if that number goes from 42 to 46, what you'll see is there's a greater risk of that man having a heart attack. I think it's double the risk because the blood becomes thicker. Anytime the blood becomes thicker, it becomes a little bit dirtier. It doesn't hold as much oxygen. It holds a little bit more toxic debris. And so as the hematocrit goes from 46 to like 52, oh my goodness, I think you have even more of a risk of having problems because the blood's too thick. Well, one of the solutions, I mean, if you were a woman, which I know you're not, but if you were a woman, you could have that monthly menstrual cycle where your body cleanses the female reproductive area. But you can't do that. So the only option you have is giving blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I had my way, when you go to give plasma, they would take some of your red blood cells along with it and not put them back in. So do you have any idea about your hemoglobin levels?
I do not. I wonder if they have that when you go to do the plasma, they prick your finger and check your blood.
Yeah, well,
I'll have to ask them what the hematocrit is.
That's a perfect question. Ask them that when you go in. Say, tell me about my blood. What's my hemoglobin? What are my red blood cell count? I mean, is there any possibility that you could be just a little bit dehydrated?
anything's possible.
Okay, well, what I'm getting at is your kidneys, they require a certain amount of water to be able to function normally. Water is a universal solvent. And so if you drink the juice that comes from four ribs of celery, one peeled lemon, some cilantro, a little bit of ginger, and apple, you're getting some of the cleanest water on earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you put that into your body and you drink it, what you're doing is you're making it very easy between the electrolytes and the minerals and the other components. I mean, ginger just by itself is like one of the most amazing substances on the planet. You talk about a unique ability to clean your digestive tract and your kidneys and your liver. It's phenomenal. And so if you did that every day, that would be a move in the right direction to help assist your body in taking care of this rash that's in the fold of your elbow.
Okay, awesome. Has
your blood pressure gone up?
No, actually, because they checked that, and it actually seems like it's pretty much the same.
Oh, good job. And the reason I say that is your kidneys easily have between 80 and 90% of the regulatory control over your blood pressure. So if somebody said to me, what causes blood pressure problems? I would probably say, well, one of two things. Either the arteries have become stiffer than what they should, and the heart has to push with a lot of extra force, thus raising the blood pressure, or the kidneys have become weaker and they're just not able to regulate blood pressure the way they used to.
Okay.
So another thing that you could look at is if that rash is on the inside of your arm, I would go more to and I know I'm saying the word strict. You know what the word strict means. You just kind of adhere to it and follow it very closely and you don't go to the left or the right. But if you just did a meat and vegetable diet with a little bit of fruit, when I say fruit, I'm talking about cherries and blueberries and strawberries and raspberries.
Sounds good.
Did I mention blackberries that you could pick in the wild, you know, forest?
Love them.
This today? So all those things are good. Actually, watermelon has been shown to be really, really good to cleanse the kidneys.
Wow.
So those are some of the things that I would look at, and if you started doing these things, that would make a move in the right direction. Or, you know what the old time technique is? It's called fasting. If you fasted one day a week, I'm thinking this would go a long way to helping to cleanse whatever's causing this reaction that's generating a rash in your elbow.
Okay.
How would you like to not eat for the next 2 weeks? I want you to be honest with me.
That would take off the weight that I've gained, so yeah.
Can you function at a high level at work and not eat?
Absolutely not.
Can you make it real long without drinking water?
No.
Probably not. So do you drink water throughout the day?
I do.
Is there anything you drink besides water?
Lately with everything that's been going on, yeah. Unfortunately, too much sugary drinks.
Okay, well, I'm not going to judge you for that, but let me ask you a question. If you drink a glass of water, and let's just say there's 16 ounces of water in the glass, and you drink it straight down, how long does it take before that water comes out of you in the form of just passing it out?
Not real.
So that means if you drink a glass of 16 ounces of water, could it be like 20 or 30 minutes before you're having to go to the bathroom?
Less than an hour, at least.
Okay, that may be one clue that you're actually a little bit dehydrated, or you may be lacking electrolytes.
Okay.
And so let me tell you two or three ways that we might be able to get around this and help you. So what would happen if you took a quart jar, which I'm trying to think, how many ounces are in a quart? Do you remember that one? I'm playing dumb here, so you can answer it for me. Which is easy for me
smart,
to do.
Because I'm the one that plays the dumb.
No. You're the good cop, and I'm the bad cop. That's the way it's going to be. Okay, so if there's 32 ounces of water or 32 ounces of liquid in a quart, we're just using water as our example. If you took maybe 1/4 teaspoon of Celtic salt,
mm-hmm.
Celtic salt is just a raw, unprocessed salt that hadn't been bleached or chemically altered, and so it just is great for the body. If you took
what about Himalayan salt?
Oh yeah, that'd work too.
Okay, perfect. That's what I keep in the house.
Do you really have time to go to the Himalayan mountains and get that?
I was hoping you could send me.
Well, do you have any friends in Nepal? Any Sherpas?
No.
Well, do you want to
climb?
Do you want to climb Mount Everest anytime soon? But if
I
you,
don't think I could.
No, Himalayan salt's fine. We'll use a fourth of a teaspoon of. If you take and stir that in the water, what you're doing is you're trying to help dissolve mineral substrate that's natural in the water. And so the water's going to hold that salt in a suspension, and it's not going to make it taste real salty. It's not like going to the ocean and taking a mouthful of, you know, when the 30-foot, you know, wave comes crashing on top of you when you're sitting comfortably on the beach? Has that ever happened?
Oh, yeah. Not the 30-foot, just the nice one.
Okay, that's different. But when you stir the salt in the water, you're trying to dissolve a mineral electrolyte substrate into the water. And that's what water's supposed to do. It's supposed to hold a mineral substrate. I mean, it's not by happenstance that the blood in the ocean that covers the earth has the same exact salt content. Are you kidding me? It's the same thing. And so if the earth is covered by 70% ocean, what is the water content of your human body? It's supposed to be 70% water. That's why if you check a person's bioimpedance and their water levels are 65%, you're going, okay, you're dehydrated. Right. So back to the 32 ounces of water. You put maybe 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of Himalayan salt or Celtic salt, or you could even get the Redmond's, you know, unprocessed sea salt. That stuff works great too. Stir it into there, and then you would add maybe 3 or 4 just regular spoonfuls of frozen grape concentrate. Now, in my mind, when you're trying to help the skin and the blood and the kidneys, you want to put grapes in the mix somewhere. And I'm just trying to come up with a simple solution. So if you found the frozen grape concentrate, I'm going to give you a multiple choice question here. Number one, where is the frozen grape concentrate found? Is it found A, in the produce section at room temperature? B, is it found in hardware of the grocery store? C, is it found in the automotive department? Or D, is it found where they have frozen fruit? Where would you guess?
Not all of the above. Let's see.
No, that was E.
The frozen department.
Oh, thank goodness. Would you believe me? I have so many people that say, I can't find it. I'm going, did you look in the frozen fruit department?
One of my favorite departments.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what? It's good. You should hang out there. But I want you to remember this. Any time that you add a grape or a product of a grape, and so when you get grape juice, what is that? That's the blood of the grape.
Right.
The fruit of the vine. That's what you need. You are helping your kidneys. It's almost like I'm giving a kidney class this morning to help people fix their kidneys, right?
That's a good thing.
So if you were to start to drink this grape juice salt water mixture, what do you think is going to happen? You're going to drink it, but you're not going to run to the bathroom within the hour. That's because if you do it this way, it will actually rehydrate your cells and get the water where it's supposed to be instead of it running through you like a sieve. Okay. You can always tell if a person's low in mineral substrate is if they drink water and it just shoots right through them. Mm-hmm. I mean, that happens to so many people. So you now have a solution where you can try to help rapidly repair and heal your kidneys, but ultimately we want the rash to go away, right?
Exactly.
So if you could avoid processed foods, I know that's hard to do, but if you can do that, I think that'll be a move in the right direction.
Okay, great.
I hope that helps.
It does, and I'm going to go back and re-listen so I can write everything down.
What do you mean, re-listen? Podcasts?
Podcasts.
Okay. Well, you exactly. Now, do you like the sound of your voice?
No, I'll just try and block that out.
Okay, well, then block mine out, too, while you're at it.
I'll just listen to the smart man that tells me things that will help.
Okay, let me know when you find out who he is. Hey, thanks for your phone call, and I'm very, very sorry for your father's loss. He was a great man.
Oh, thank you so much. It's just, you know, I think that kind of helped, you know, everybody bringing everything and all the foods and everything kind of changed your diet a lot at that point.
What I'm going to focus on is you're a great son. You were totally devoted to taking care of your mother. and your father. You never put them in a nursing home. You kept them there at the house. You met their every need. Yes, I'm not saying that he was always easy to please. I'm just joking.
No, sir.
No, but you're a great man. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
Well, thank you, and you the same. Thank you for your help. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And yes, you're welcome. All right. If you would like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Can you give me your medical expert opinion about CBD products?
Back in the year, I think it was 1994, a very famous Israeli scientist, he discovered a system in the body called the endocannabinoid system. And it's not like any other system in the body. So if I asked you, do you have a respiratory system, you would say, yes, that's why I'm breathing right now. And if I said, do you have a digestive system, you'd say, well, isn't that my stomach and my intestines? I'd say, correct. Or if you said, what about the nervous system? Wouldn't that be the brain and the nerves and the spinal cord? That would be correct. But there's a very unique system. I'm not saying it's extremely well studied, but it's called the endocannabinoid system. Now, under normal circumstances, the human organism is so healthy and so strong that it can make these unique substances called cannabinoids. But when your health begins to falter, that's when you may start to see a deficiency of what are called cannabinoids or endocannabinoids. So enter the plant called the hemp plant. I think the hemp is the male version of the cannabis plant. It does not contain high amounts of that psychoactive substance called THC. And so when a person ages, it's almost like a... Can I put that on hold for 1 second and give you one more explanation before I come back to it, please?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is only my analogy, but if you will, tell me what kind of a car or vehicle or make do you drive? What's the brand name?
Lexus.
Okay, so did you say Lexus?
Yes.
Okay, so I think that's a Toyota product, doesn't it? But those are like extremely well-made cars. Lexus are phenomenal. So
if
you don't want to have a car break down on you, a Lexus would be a good choice. So in order for you to get in that car and turn the engine on and have access to everything from the air conditioner to pressing on the gas or activating the brakes or the windows or anything that you want that car to do, you got to have a key. And so in my mind, and this is just my analogy, vitamins and minerals, they're like keys. And so if you have a key where vitamin D fits into it, and only vitamin D can turn into the key or activate the ignition on your cell, so good things can happen. Well, what happens if you have a lack of vitamin D? You're going to have problems. Well, CBD, and that's what you're asking about, right?
Yeah.
Okay, CBD that comes from hemp. It's going to be like you're giving your body very specific nutrients or keys to activate this endocannabinoid system within your body. And so anytime that you're, if you walk out to your car, your Lexus, and you don't have your key on your person, I'm guessing you're not going to be able to get in. And you're sure not going to start it. And you sure can't turn on 90.3 FM and listen to Dr. Morgan on Saturday mornings from your car. And so when you start consuming a hemp product called CBD, if you all of a sudden start feeling significantly better, and I'm just going to make up a couple of things here. Let's just say that your mind becomes more clear and you start having a lot less pain in your body, then I would say, okay, obviously her body under its present circumstances is not able to make enough cannabinoids. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so if you take CBD and you go, oh my goodness, when I take it, I don't hurt as bad. Or it seems like my body's healing faster, which I can tell you right now, the basic problem with aging is we don't heal as fast as what we did when we were like 3 years old. I know you know that.
Yeah.
And so if you take CBD and all of a sudden you get a great progress or improvement, I would say it's just taking care of a deficiency. Your body can't make enough of it, so you need it.
What do you suggest I take?
Well, for what? What reason?
The amount. Well?
Well, what are you taking it for, though? What do you have in mind?
I'm not taking it for anything. I just see so much information about CBD. And I called you to ask you, do you recommend it? I don't feel any pain. I'm not any.
Oh, yeah. What you're doing is, see, what I find you saying to me is extremely interesting. You're not trying to wait until your body breaks down like you hurt all the time or you have some system that just doesn't work right before you start taking it. Man, this is actually kind of smart. You're trying to get ahead of the curve.
Right.
Oh, man. Well, here's what I'm going to recommend. If you, and I can't possibly know the concentration of all the different supplement manufacturers, but if you wanted to, you could easily go to any store and you could purchase what's called hemp oil.
Okay.
If the hemp oil says it contains 5 milligrams of CBDs per gel cap, that could be a very good starting point. And if you wanted to, you could just experiment with that and take it and see exactly what happens.
Okay.
So do you sleep really well at night?
Yes.
Okay. You're pretty much perfect, aren't you?
No, I'm not perfect.
But close, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I try.
Well, you could easily just try taking a small amount of CBD and then say, okay, I'm the guinea pig here. I want to see what happens. But, I mean, you know your body really well, and so if you take this, you're probably going to be able to determine if you notice any difference in how you feel. So if there was any improvement in your mood or your physical performance or energy levels or less inflammation, I mean, that'd be very positive right there.
Yes, that's what I want to determine, if I need to take it, by taking it, I guess.
Well, you know, okay, I'm not trying to be negative by what I'm fixing to say, so just take it with a grain of salt. I hear the same story every single day of the week without fail. Never changes. Here's the way, and this is just one example. Okay, I go to my doctor, and my doctor says I'm in kidney failure. And I say, what is your plan for helping me, doctor? And the doctor says, come back in 1 year, let's see what happens. Well, that's not a plan.
Right.
If you want to call that watching and waiting as a person deteriorates, that is not a plan to restore the kidneys to back to where they can function again. Am I right about that?
You're right, Dr. Morgan.
So that's not what you want to do. You want to get ahead of the curve and say, what can I do to prevent disease? And so if I take this now, will that help
right.
put me in a better place? And I think that's genius on your part.
Thank you.
And so we don't want to be in the business of just waiting for a person's body to break down where they can go, oh, now our plan is to put you on renal dialysis. What we want you to do is go to the DaVita Dialysis Center for 6 hours, 3 times a week, and that's our plan. And you're going, that is not a good plan for me. I don't want to do that. And so,
right.
So all these things you're doing right now, you're really getting ahead of the curve. And so I think this is a good call. So
thank
if you were
you
to take, oh, you're welcome. Thank you for your call. But if you were to take a little bit of CBD, just be very observant and keep a very open mind and see if you notice or observe any positive changes.
And you say take one of those gel caps?
Yeah, you could start off real simple. If it had about 5 milligrams of CBD in it, it should say on the label.
Okay.
I mean, literally, you cannot drive down the road without seeing a sign, we sell CBD. Am I right?
It's everywhere.
Okay, now, let me say this right here, because I'm in a very unique situation. And again, I know of a location where there is a tobacco shop, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm very fond of the owner. I like him a lot. He's a great guy, and I like the people that work there, too. Then again, I pretty much like everybody. There's not many people I don't like. Okay, maybe one person I don't want to hang out with. But besides that, I just kind of like people.
Right.
And so they sell these vaping devices that contain CBDs. Now, if you if you were to go to a place that sells this stuff, if you just ask a simple question, you said, okay, what is the number one reason why a person would come to this store and purchase one of the products? And they're going to tell you, this is going to be the answer. They're going to say it's 100% because of anxiety. Do you know what the word anxiety means?
Yes, sir.
You do. And in the real world, you can say, I don't have to tell you what it means. I can tell you what it feels like to have anxiety. You could say,
right,
I have this overwhelming sense of nervousness.
Right.
I feel imbalanced. I don't like the way I feel on the inside. I'm jittery. I have anxiety. I feel like I go into panic mode. And some people might take that and say, I really feel emotionally out of kilter or off balance, or I feel a bit depressed. I realize that's a different topic. And so what happens is they can take one of these vaping sticks that contain CBDs, and there's your delivery system right there. You inhale it, and the CBD goes from, you know, this nebulized, it's not nebulized, it's this vapor, and you it absorbs in your body that way. And so all of a sudden, they start to feel very, very calm. But as soon as the CBDs do their job and they wear off, you've got to replace them again. So the bottom line is this. Every person that goes into one of those tobacco shops, on some level, they're hurting either emotionally or spiritually or physically. They just don't feel right, and they just want to feel right, even if it's for a moment. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes.
And so CBD is almost like a nutrient. It fills those receptor slots in your cells, and it satisfies them just for a moment, but even that wears off. And, of course, I know you know this, but what is the message that we're supposed to get out of this? We're supposed to say, okay, this is not working. I have to keep inhaling the substance to make it work. We're supposed
right.
to say, what can I do to improve my health where I don't
right.
require or need this? And actually, that's the way that I was taught by pharmacists when I went to school back in the early 1980s, which I realized 1980 was just like yesterday. But they always told us, they said, Roy, here's what you're thinking of when it comes to pharmaceuticals and drugs. And these were pharmacists. They would say
wow.
it's called the minimum effective dose. And so I learned that principle from pharmacology class. You give
okay.
a person the very least amount of a drug that they require to help change their symptoms for the moment. And but you know the second part of the equation that was drilled into me by Dr. V.L. Sheladia or Dr. Matthew Mathai. These were both
what?
Indian doctors, by the way. He said, okay, what you're supposed to do with drugs is you're supposed to figure out what the problem is and fix it where they don't need the drug anymore. And I'm going, got it. I read you loud and clear. So you give the least amount of a pharmaceutical drug, and then you try to fix the body and find out where their problem's coming from so they don't need it again, right? Well, you
right.
know as well as I do, that whole dynamic has changed. You
yeah.
want, you know what the dynamic is today? We want customers for the rest of our life, and so we want to put everybody in the universe
yes.
on as many drugs as possible
yes.
so we have repeat customers.
Yes, it's all about the money, too.
You ain't kidding. They're not even trying to fix problems and get
no.
people off drugs, are they?
No, they're not.
Anyway, if I'm wrong about that, would somebody please call me? You know, if you're a pharmacist, if you're a medical doctor, please call me on the radio and explain how that works. I know there's exceptions. Like if somebody has type 1 diabetes and the cells that produce insulin, if they're dead, then they're going to need to take insulin the rest of their life. I get that. Or
right.
if a woman's had her thyroid removed and she has no
right.
thyroid, she's going
right.
to need levothyroxine or armor thyroid from here on out. I get that.
Exception.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is if a person's taking 24 medications and there's 3 anti-anxiety wow. medications and 4 antidepressants and 6
mm-hmm.
medications for blood pressure and then 3 heart pills and then,
mm-hmm.
you know, just keep we could keep going and going.
Right. Mm-mm.
Anyway, did I get off track?
Well, I love that information because I feel the same way about these pharmaceutical drugs. And you have helped me a lot, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, that makes me happy.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, you know everything's changed. I mean, sometimes it's like the frog in the boiling pan of water or pot of water. You put a frog in, you know, cool water, and they don't really notice if the temperature goes up, like, slowly until it's boiling. They don't jump out of it to save themselves. Well, I kind of think that we have been really numbed and dumbed down here, myself included. And so it's okay to ask questions about these things. And so, you know what, at some point we're going to figure out what are we going to put into our mouth that heals our body and helps us to heal wounds faster. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I have got a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Is this Dr. Roy?
It is, yes, ma'am.
Good. I've been on cholesterol and high blood pressure pills and depression pills for about 20 years now, and I've never been told how to stop, you know, to heal so that I don't have to be on them. And I'm not on high doses or anything, but I'm wondering, how do I get off of them? I do try to eat good.
Why do you want to get off of them for?
Because they're just drugs, it seems like.
Well, do you think that maybe there's something about them that causes symptoms or makes you feel bad?
Well, I've been noticing I get tired a little bit easier. Okay. I'm 66. And the memory thing, you know, by the end of the day, I'm struggling trying to remember. You know, I can't remember too much, and I do have a stressful job, and the depression pills, I feel like I had to be on those to help me cope, because I have to work.
Right.
But if there was something natural that I could do, I'm all for it. I do take a women's one-a-day vitamin. I've been listening to you. I'm new to the show, and I just thought I'm going to tell you what all I take, and you tell me what I can do better, if
okay.
you don't mind.
Not at all.
I take Citracal, slow-release 1200, and it has the vitamin D.
That's the first one I want to take you off of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and the reason I'm saying that is the latest studies show that if a woman takes Citracal,
uh-huh.
it's going to equate to either a heart attack or a stroke or a broken bone. I know that's not going to make logical sense, but
uh-huh.
if you will, Google the idea of does taking supplemental calcium increase the risk of a woman having a blood clot or a stroke or a heart attack, and you'll come up with your answer once you read the articles.
Okay.
I'm not trying to scold you by saying that.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it seems like, you know, the doctor told me, and he always asked me, you know, are you still taking this? Well, yes. You know, and supposedly it's supposed to be a good thing.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, when you take supplemental calcium in that form,
mm-hmm.
it's counterproductive. Now, the type of calcium that your body loves is when you eat broccoli with butter on it, or you have salmon with lemon juice or balsamic vinegar and butter on top of it and salt and pepper. That's the type of calcium your body loves, food-based calcium.
Okay.
Would you believe me if I told you that longevity and eating cheese go hand in hand?
Well, I was told not to eat cheese because of the cholesterol.
You realize I'm going to tell you the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, go get some goat or sheep cheese and eat it and have fun.
Okay.
Are you telling me you're a woman that doesn't eat tacos with crumbled goat cheese on them? What's wrong with you?
Well, I've never been much of a meat eater. I tend to like, you know, the beans.
Well, and that's what I really want to talk you into, because I know there's not enough time to really flesh this out, but
mm-hmm.
I want to give you the idea that cholesterol is so, so good for the body. It's one of the most amazing repair molecules. And I know you've heard me say this before, but the highest cholesterol-containing food on the planet is mama's breast milk. And what mother is going to say, I do not want my child nursing because there's too much cholesterol in that thar milk. Well, David, you got to have it for the brain. And so if you could just maybe slightly change your orientation here or consider this.
Mm-hmm.
If I could talk you into eating fish once a day or meat once a day, you're going to tell me if your energy starts to come back. You're just okay. in your 60s. That's one of the equations that we've got to tackle here.
Okay.
How do we get your body to produce tremendous amounts of energy? So the cholesterol-lowering drugs, what they do is they deplete the body of what's called vitamin D3.
Mm-hmm.
And vitamin K2 and coenzyme Q10, just to name a few. So if you start supplementing with about 5,000 IUs of vitamin D3, let's see if we can move the needle in a good way and you're a happy girl.
Okay.
If you start taking 1,000 micrograms of vitamin K2, tell me if you don't feel amazing after a month of doing that.
Okay.
And if you start consuming B vitamins with magnesium, all these things I've told you, they're going to do more to protect your bones and the integrity of your body than the blood pressure pills or cholesterol pills.
Okay.
And so what do you think about eating animal flesh once a day? Do you like eggs?
Yes, I do.
Do you eat them with the yolks?
Yes.
Oh, good.
That's the only way I'll eat an egg.
I was going to try to trick you into eating eggs over easy or something like that. I don't have to. But you've got to give the body the very things that it needs to function and to feel better.
Well, I go for my checkup this month, later in the month.
Who's going to check you?
Well, check my blood.
But who does that, though? Is that your medical doctor?
Yes.
Are they, like, really, really good at examining you?
Well,
just tell me what they do. What do they do to really find out thoroughly what you need?
Well, they just say we're going to send you to the lab to draw your blood, and we'll be able to tell you everything about you.
And do they?
Well, I get my paperwork in the mail, and I don't understand what all this stuff is.
So when they say they're going to tell you everything about you by looking at your labs... That doesn't happen, does it?
I'm not a pharmacist. I have no idea what.
No, you're not a pharmacist.
But since I've been listening to you, I've been, you know, when I hear you say something, I pull out my paper and I look at my numbers.
Exactly. You know? And we want to find, and those numbers are highly valuable. So if you see a number that's too high or too low, you're probably thinking, why didn't they call me and explain what these numbers mean?
Well, and that's something I was going to ask them when I go, because my white blood cells, my red blood cells, my hemoglobin, and the other one, I don't have my glasses on, see what it is, they're all showing low.
Well, that means you're anemic, and that's a really, really big deal. So everything that you want to have a healthy heart, you want to have plenty of energy, you want your brain to work right. That's incompatible when you're anemic, so we've got to fix that. So,
okay.
I'm gonna ask for your physical address, and I'm gonna call the delivery driver to bring you a grass-fed ribeye steak immediately to your house, with steamed broccoli with butter on it. And I'm gonna force you to eat it at gunpoint. No, I'm joking.
Okay, broccoli with the grain
butter.
Fed broccoli with butter.
Yeah, and from here on out. Everything that you put in your mouth needs to have butter on it.
Really?
If you want to absorb the nutrients?
Uh-huh.
Heck yeah, you do.
True butter.
Yeah, exactly. Just get you some good, delicious butter.
Good.
Do not make me force you against your will to melt butter on your sweet potato, woman.
I tell you what, this is music to my heart, my ears.
Well, here's what I can tell you. If you do this one thing, if you start putting real... wholesome bona fide butter from a cow on everything that you eat,
uh-huh.
Your nutrient absorption is going to go up by 15% in 1 month.
Oh, great.
And that's a huge thing. Now, this is my next sales pitch for you.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you need right now is found in red meat.
And that's what they tell you to cut down on.
They don't even, I tell you right now, if they can't explain your labs to you, they don't know anything.
Yeah.
So what am I supposed to do with information like this? People tell me the story all the time. We're going to tell you everything you need to know, and they don't do anything. I'm going,
What type of business is this where you take the money but you don't do anything for the money? I don't understand that.
Well, and if you try to call your, you know, you wait and you wait and you wait and you then you drop through the cracks, so.
Well, and the thing of it is, I'm not trying to be overly critical, but in the real world, if you call me and ask a question, it's my job to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't always like hanging out at the office till 7:30 of the night, but sometimes I do. Because people have needs. And so in your situation, if you found a source of what's called grass-fed beef, I don't even care if it's grass-fed ground beef.
Mm-hmm.
There's a guy over in Cayuga. I'm not going to say his name, Jimmy, on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But he moves his cows to a different pasture every single day.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal. If you just knew what he did to make sure that you have high-quality meat, you would be beating down your door to Jimmy and Wendy's house.
Wow.
Which I don't want to give out their name on the radio, because if I start a stampede, they're going to be mad at me and blame me. No, but he moves these cows so they get to eat all this different vegetation and flora and fauna and different types of grass.
Mm-hmm.
And so after a day, guess what he says to him? Hey, Elsie, move your carcass over here, over the hill to your new pasture, and guess what they get to do? They get to eat on fresh, nutrient-dense plants and vegetation. So what you have is, when you have grass-fed cows like what Jimmy's doing,
mm-hmm.
by the way, Jimmy's a little bit different, okay? He's not doing what all the other farmers do. All the other farmers are saying, okay, we need to cram all these cows up on this pasture. No, he's thinking outside the box. Wow. It's just brilliant.
So that's what grain fed or grass fed.
Yeah, if you want to say grain fed, guess what they do? They put them on a big, huge commercial feedlot. And they say, this is what you get to do, cow. Mm. You get to walk around in your own manure for the next 30 days while we're feeding you corn and grain and to fatten you up. Now, is that what you'd want somebody to do to you?
Nope.
No. But if you said, now actually, Jimmy is a genius. He's got enough sense to say, okay, what am I going to do to increase the nutritional density of the meat that I'm going to provide for my customers? I don't even want to tell you over the radio how cheap it is, because you're going to say, Dr. Morgan, we are very upset with you because you didn't tell us this information before, and I'm going to say, I'm sorry, I can't think of everything. But everything that you need right now to build the strength of your blood and to build your life force is going to be found in a grass-fed ground beef.
Okay.
If you told me you want to take like half liver and half ground beef and grind them together and make a meatloaf, I'd say, you are a genius woman.
Mm.
But the thing of it is, you're going to feel better.
Yeah. Well, I do want to feel better, and I do. Let me ask you this. If I start eating like
mm-hmm.
you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you want me just to stop the CitraCal?
That one I can tell you with confidence, because it's not a food-based form of calcium.
Okay.
They're just taking limestone rock and they're breaking it up and putting in a tablet. There's no animals in the universe that say, oh my goodness, I am so low in calcium, let me go eat some limestone.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't happen.
Okay.
But
go ahead.
I was just going to say, when the limestone breaks down through plants, then that's when the cow eats it, and they get the calcium through a plant that's processed or prepared the calcium.
Mm.
So if you eat one steak twice a week, you're going to call me back and say, hey, I think we officially have moved the needle.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your white blood cell count's low, let me just throw a number out there. Let's say it's 4.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking for problems. You cannot stop cancer or infection when your white blood cell count's at a 4.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. I wasn't saying that to be negative or to be mean to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the reality of it. And so give your blood what it needs to be strong and vital and healthy.
Okay. Now, the cholesterol medicine that I'm taking and the high blood pressure medicine, those I just keep on taking while I'm trying to improve by naturally eating better.
Well, let's focus on the second half of that equation. As you improve, you can get to the point where you don't even need those medications. How about that?
Oh, that sounds great.
Okay. Now, obviously, someone's going to call and say, that's wrong, Dr. Morgan. My name is Dr. Deep Pockets, and I say she needs this drug the rest of her life. This is preposterous. We're never taking people off these drugs. Once they're on them, we want them on for life. No, you know I'm being a little bit jokey about that. But, yeah, if you improve your health, that's where you win. Uh-oh, I just looked at the clock. I've gone way over. Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Have a good day, ma'am.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.